An uprising of the peasants in the Vendée in March of 1793 seemed to signal that not only was there an international conspiracy, an international coalition being mounted against the revolution, but now reactionary forces were on the march domestically as well. In the Vendée, there was an uprising of peasants, for the most part, in March of 1793. Peasants who were angered at the anti-clerical excesses, they believed, of the radicals in Paris. They opposed service in the Republican army. And by May, the rebels had created a royal Catholic army. And Lyon, Marseille, and Toulon actually fell to counter-revolutionary royals in this period. At the same time, inflationary pressures on the French currency continued to run rampant. The Jacobins pushed for extreme economic measures, the confiscation of aristocratic and clerical wealth of all sorts, for relief to the poor. Now was the time that restraints had to be simply removed. The revolution faced a great moment of peril. The Vendée, the rollback of the revolution seemed to be underway, and not simply among immigré aristocrats, but a peasantry that, while certainly keen on land reform, sensed a growing rift with Paris. Paris now, to many peasants in the countryside, just seemed to be too radical and taking developments into a direction that were unsavory and should be resisted. The Paris mob demanded expulsion of the moderates from the convention. There was a threat of invasion, of domestic insurrection, of an economic deterioration. All of these factors together in the summer of 1793 would lead to what came to be known as the Reign of Terror, from the summer of 1793 to the summer of 1794. The convention, which was elected by universal manhood suffrage in September of 1792, would actually remain in place until 1795. But real power, executive power, was vested in two committees, the most important of which was the Committee of Public Safety, charged with general administration. It consisted of 12 members from the convention itself, but as developments proceeded, the Committee of Public Safety gradually became independent of the convention. All of the members of this Committee of Public Safety were educated members of the bourgeoisie. Six were lawyers. Two were officers. Two were what was referred to as men of letters. One civil servant and one Protestant minister. There was no man of property, no substantial man of means represented in this committee of public safety. Although power would be shared in different ways and tended to ebb and flow, clearly the dominant figure of the terror of this period of the terror and of the Committee of Public Safety was Maximilien Robespierre, a Jacobin trained as a lawyer, as a judge, a man in his 30s, as were most of the leaders of the Jacobin Club and members of the Committee of Public Safety. Robespierre would forever be identified with the Reign of Terror. He did not begin it. It was not his idea, but he was certainly the man who drove it forward, who pushed it to its most radical extremes. The basic goal of Robespierre and the radical Jacobins was, first of all, simply to survive, to save the revolution, to win the war against this very ominous coalition of foreign powers, to suppress the enemies of the revolution at home, and finally to establish what Robespierre and others would come to call the Republic of Virtue. The Girondins, on their side, the more moderate Jacobins, had vacillated on various things. They were certainly wary of the more radical turn taken by the regime. They vacillated on the treatment of the king. And in 1793,